want to talk about something that's so important in the life of a believer. And that thing is discernment. Discernment. The ability, Webster says that discernment is the ability to judge well. But from a spiritual aspect, the definition is this. I want you to see it. Perception in the absence of judgment with a view of obtaining spiritual direction and understanding. And as you can see from this definition, how important discernment is in your life. To discern the things that are happening, to discern the experiences you're going through, to discern maybe even the struggles or maybe the blessings. You need to discern that. You need to understand the proper judgment there. And the thing I love about God and about Jesus, especially as we're studying in the Gospel of Mark, is that Jesus and God don't try to hide things from us. No, the Word of God is here, as in my prayer, to show us and to reveal to us what's to come, what's ahead. And so in some senses, discernment has been given to us. And as believers, we need to be confident in the God that we serve. We need to be confident that Jesus has told us and shown us what the end is already. And it's an understanding and it's a knowledge that we must have spiritually. Because if we just go through life in the physical realm, in the horizontal, we're going to be frustrated. We're going to be anxious. We're going to be fearful. But thank God we have a vertical perspective. Thank God that our minds and our hearts have been open to what God's doing and what God wants to accomplish. And I want you to think about that this morning, what God is trying to accomplish in your life. Because I believe God wants to do something amazing in your life, even right now. You know, as I was driving into church today, I was just praying and saying, God, just show us, show me, reveal to me, help me to be discerning. As I studied the scripture, I want to be able to discern on a spiritual level. See, you've heard me say this many times, it's great for us to have that horizon. Hey, how was your week? How was your day? How are you doing? That's great. But truly, deep down, how are you doing in your relationship with God? For some of us in this room, we're on a mountaintop. We feel close to God. We feel as though that he's all around. We're seeing him work. We're seeing him move. We're seeing him give us that strength that we need in our time of need. But for others of us in this room, maybe there's a distance there. There's an uncertainty. God, what are you doing? God, why is this happening? Whether it's a physical thing, whether it's a financial thing, whether it's an emotional thing, there's just something's not connecting. And so this morning I want us to understand that even in those different times, God is there. And you have to know that. Sometimes God does allow that distance because I believe it stretches our faith. It draws us into God. It draws us closer to God. It's those times when I'm at my wit's end or when I'm struggling the most is when I really press into God and seek more for his answers. And so we want to be discerning. We want to have that level of discernment. And I've entitled this morning's message, See the Signs. See the Signs. And I'm not talking with your eyes. I'm not saying you're going to see what's going on in this world. But to really have that discernment, to be able to see in the spiritual realm that God's doing something in your life, in our day, in this church, in your life. Now, on a physical level, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I noticed it just the other day. Did you notice that the leaves are already starting to fall? And I was driving down my street, and literally, the sides of the street were covered in leaves, and the streets were covered in leaves. I'm like, when did this happen? It's like almost overnight. And so, isn't it interesting, when we see leaves fall from the trees, what do we know? Fall. Summer's over. Praise God for some of us. Thank the Lord. We're going to get to 78 today, right? Love it. Fall's over. Summer's over, fall is coming. We see the signs, okay? We see that happening and we know something's going to take place. Another thing, you know, when you're driving in your car, there's a gauge. Some of us don't seem to want to look at until... Have you ever run out of gas? Yeah, we all have. Never run out of gas when your wife's in the car. It's another story I'll tell some other day. No, you got a gauge in your car so that when you look down and you see it getting close to E, you're supposed to do what? P- Pull into a gas station pretty soon, right? See the signs. They're there. And then finally, when you're driving on the highway, there's all of these things all over the place. Another experience with your spouse that can always be fun. An exit sign tells you when your destination is coming up. See the signs. So we see in the physical, there are signs, there are indications of things that are coming. But on a deeper level, as we get into this area of Scripture, Jesus is saying, I need you to pay attention to the signs, the spiritual signs around you. And Jesus, thankfully, gives us some indication of the signs of what? The end of the time. The end of the age. When the end of is going to come, he's going to tell us how that happens. And I am so thankful for that. That we're not just going through life haphazardly. No, we know that there's an end coming. And we can see the signs of those things happening, those things coming into place. And we'll look at those this morning. But in these verses, these closing verses of Mark chapter 13, Jesus wants his children not to be unaware, to be mindful that the end's coming. Guys, we don't have much time left. The older I get, the more I realize there was a lot of time I wasted. There's a lot of time when I wasn't a believer and I wasted it on myself. And now we only have so much time here. You know, Pastor RJ turning 55, he starts getting discounts now. I'm sorry. But literally, I was on the website this morning. I want to get a membership at the Williamson County Rec Center. I want to start swimming. And I saw right there, senior price. And I thought, what is the senior price? I clicked on it. It's got to be 55. I'm 53, so I got to pay a higher price. And I thought, Pastor RJ gets the discount. I literally did that. 55, that's his, he gets the discount. The benefits of getting older, right? But the realization that life is coming to an end. See the signs. You look in the mirror, I see the signs. The wrinkles, the less hair on the head, all those things. The signs are there, right? So let's look at it. We need to be discernment. We need to have this discernment. And Jesus tells us here in these closing verses that discernment that we must have. Read with me in verse 24. But in those days, at the end, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of earth to the farthest part of heaven. Give me your attention. When it comes to seeing the signs, the first thing I see here is seeing the signs in the Word of God. It's important for us as believers to know that the signs are here in the scriptures that we read, both Old Testament and New Testament. As Jesus is unfolding these things, he wants us to be discerning. He says in verse 24, but in those days, what days? In those last days, in the tribulation. It even says, after that tribulation, something amazing is going to happen. Okay? The sun is going to no longer give us light. The moon is no longer going to shine. Something's going to happen in the physical, and Jesus is saying, when you see these things happen, you know the end's coming. You know the end is here. As he says in verse 24, but. It's a sharp contrast to what he was talking about before. But in those days, after kind of the tribulation, it's a sharp contrast between the appearance of false messiahs, which he talked about back in verse 22, and the dramatic coming of the true Messiah. He's saying, but there's going to be deception in those days, but you need to make sure you keep your eyes out for the true Messiah, the true Messiah. In fact, and when I talk about the signs in the Word of God, Isaiah says it this way, and this is Jesus basically quoting Isaiah. It says this, for the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will cease its light to shine. Isaiah, way back, many hundreds of years before that, says the very same thing. And here Jesus reaches back to this prophecy in Isaiah and says, these are the things that are going to happen in the end. Do you understand how important the Word of God is? How enlightening the Word of God is? If you are a consistent reader of your Bible, God is constantly showing you things and constantly revealing things to you. That's why as pastors, as leaders, we tell you, read your Bible. The more you read the Word of God, the more equipped you are to endure the things in this life. It's not something that we like to tell you, oh yeah, they're going to hate this. Read your Bible every day. No, I would hope that every opportunity you get to wake up in a new day and say, I get to spend time with the Lord this morning. And to truly pray, God, show me something in the Scriptures. And isn't it amazing when something that God shows you, how oftentimes God immediately puts someone else on your heart that you can share that Scripture with? Someone just this morning sent me a screenshot of their devotion because they thought it was an encouragement to them and they thought it would be good for me. This is what it's all about, guys. We need to be encouraged in the Word of God, because you sit down and watch the news any day and you're going to be discouraged, right? I mean discouraged. But if you can read the Word of God, you will be encouraged. Yes, there's terrible things that are going to happen. This is the tribulation that Jesus is talking about. After that, at his second coming, heaven's going to be crazy, isn't it? But there's something I believe hidden in this scripture, area of scripture, that is an encouragement to you and I. And I don't know if you noticed it. Look with me at verse 26 again. It says, then they will see the Son of Man. In this chapter, 25 times Jesus says you. 4 times he says they. And I think, personally, what Jesus is saying, the tribulation saints, the tribulation people in the tribulation people, they're the ones that are going to see the Son of Man coming at his second coming. We as believers are where? We're with him. We're in heaven. We're watching this from front row seats. I just think it's an amazing truth. Again, the importance of the Word of God to really stop and read your Bibles. I mean, this just hit me just yesterday as I was reading it. I'm like, it says they there. I mean, if this was for the believers, wouldn't you think Jesus would say, and you will see the Son of Man coming? This is the second coming of Christ after the tribulation. We are with Jesus, and he's coming back, and he says, from the four corners of the earth. He means in the tribulation period, he's going to gather everybody that gave their life during that 7-year period. Not one will escape. And notice it says, those on earth and those in heaven. Many Bible commentators believe that that indication is that the Old Testament saints, Jesus will gather them as well at his second coming. It's so important for us, guys, to know that we will not, I do believe with all my heart that we will not go through the tribulation period. I just don't see anyone allowing their bride, that's the church, to suffer that kind of thing. And so we see that in the Word of God. It's so, so important. Now, some will look at this and say, well, maybe that's the rapture. It says after the tribulation period, and I believe we get raptured before the tribulation period. In fact, you can write this down. I'm going to read it. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. Listen to this. It says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. This is the Apostle Paul not wanting us to be ignorant, wants us to know. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, those that have passed away in the time that he's writing this, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. So he's talking about believers who've had their family members or loved ones pass away. He doesn't want them to be sad. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep or are dead in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with you. Verse 18 to me is so important. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words, that there's going to be a day when Jesus comes back to rapture his church. And it says with a trump. We don't see that, do we, in Mark's gospel? Hear a trumpet, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first for a moment, and then those who are alive are going to be caught up. The word is harpazo in the Greek. It's rapturzo in the Latin, which is where we get our word rapture. Ever hear anybody say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, caught up is the word rapture. This is so encouraging, guys. We need to know the word of God. If someone comes to you and doesn't believe this, you have the scriptures, you know the word of God to know that you can share this with them. No, here's the encouragement. That when the end comes, we're going to be with the Lord. I mean, that's a great thing to know. And it's a good thing to know that those who have gone before us who are believers will be with the Lord as well. That's the encouragement Jesus is saying. Go with, oh, you didn't turn there, so don't worry about it. Mark chapter 13, look with me at verse 28. Not only is it the word of God that encourages us. Verse 28 says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The second thing we see here is seeing the signs. Not only is it in the word of God, but Jesus is also showing us and showing them that it's in the physical world around us. The things that we can see in this world happening. See, we're a generation that has seen the Jewish people reestablish their nation. We've seen that. We've seen things that generations past have not seen. And when Jesus says this generation will not by no means pass away until all these things are fulfilled, he's talking about the abomination of desolation. That point in the mid-trib, 3.5 years in the middle, when Satan stands as God in the temple, sets up his throne, calls himself God. When they see these things happening, we know the end's coming. There's only 3.5 more years left. Daniel tells us that too. And I've shared this with you before, chapter 12, verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Don't you love it when the Word of God gives you a roadmap? It's an amazing thing. When we see these things happening, when the people in the tribulation see these things happening, they know the end's coming. They know the return of Christ is at the doorstep. That's an encouragement to us, guys. We see as Jesus uses this parable of the fig tree. Do you know that the fig tree is the only tree that is that has this regular pattern that leaves appear and then immediately summer follows after? I mean, it's like clockwork. I have a tree in my backyard that all the other trees bloom in spring, and this one just sits there with no leaves on it, just empty. Every year I'm like, that thing died. It's a late bloomer. It's one of those kids, you know, there's like, oh, I can't. And then all of a sudden the leaves come out. It's unpredictable. Not the fig tree. Jesus says, look at the fig tree. Watch the fig tree. When you see these things happen, you know that summer's near. In the same way, Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation, when you see these things coming into place, you know that the timing, the clock will start to tick. He set it up for us, guys. See, this was the perfect illustration for Jesus to use, because it was in the exact time of that year that the fig trees were blooming. As Jesus is telling them on the Mount of Olives, they're seeing it right in front of them. Isn't it amazing how Jesus will reveal to us his will in the physical around us, in the world around us? He'll show us things if we have that discernment, if we're in tune with him. If we're not so focused on the things of the world, if we're not so focused on the stress of our finances, if we're not dealing with struggles in our relationship, if we're truly focusing on God and saying, Lord, show me. Lord, reveal to me. Beautiful illustration of this was this past Wednesday. In our Wednesday night Bible study, we were talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And what a beautiful study it was, and an education for the New Testament church to know that there are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if anybody else felt it, but I felt that God was just smiling down on us because we were open to the reality of God using us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that each and every one of you in this room, if you believe in Jesus as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit can reveal things to you and use you? And at the end of our study, I asked, is there anybody here that has not been baptized with the Holy Spirit? There was someone in the study who said, I've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit. We had an opportunity to take that person to Scripture, reveal it, and they said, I go, do you want that? I've never heard anybody say no yet. No, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and empowers you to be a bold witness. And do you know that person earlier that day was asking God to equip them to minister to Jehovah's Witnesses? And I just think it's an amazing thing, God's timing and His word. And in that moment, in that day, that person's prayers were answered. Guys, God wants to pour His Spirit upon you. God wants to use you. I think sometimes we can get into this mindset, why is nobody ministering to me? Why is this not happening to me? And we get so self-centered and self-focused and self-consumed that we're missing the ability that God would use us to touch someone else. Because you know what? When God uses you to touch someone else, it's the greatest experience you could ever have. And listen, Wednesday night, I had concerns, I had cares. There were struggles I'm going through, but to be used by God in that way to bless that person and see the church come around them and lay hands on them and ask them to receive the Holy Spirit, I was on a spiritual high the rest of the day. I think my car flew home. Not speed-wise, I think it flew. Because it was just like, thank you, Lord. And actually, someone this morning said to me, I was so glad that you, at the end of study, you said, does anybody want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I said, well, I can tell you straight up, that wasn't me. That was God. God knew that person's heart, and He knew what He wanted to give that person. Are you open to receive more from the Lord? Are you? Or do you just have enough? I've got enough of what I want from God, nothing more. I don't want anything crazy. I mean, we talked about speaking in tongues. For many people, that freaks people out, doesn't it? Speaking in tongues. That's a weird sound. Listen, I was in Paris. French is a weird sound. When you don't understand it, you know? I didn't know French. I asked for calamari and I got octopus. Oops. It'd be nice to know French. The reality is, the Holy Spirit wants to speak through us. We can get freaked out with the gifts of tongues, but listen, the gifts of tongues need to be exercised in the church today, my friends, with the gift of interpretation. Yes, there are churches that believe if you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to have the gift of tongues, otherwise you don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's just a lie. The Word of God does not say that. And when Paul lists out the gifts of the Holy Spirit, guess what's last? Tongues. First one, prophecy. He says, and I wish all of you prophesied. And I got to tell you, I'm with Paul. I wish all of you prophesied. I wish all of you would speak a word from heaven to encourage someone sitting next to you. Do you know that we have that ability? If God wants to do it? See, I want God to do it. I can't force God to do it, but I want Him to do it. I want God to gift me with the gift of healing so that when you are come up here and ask for prayer, that God would heal you. But we have to ask for these things. We have to seek these things. They don't just happen. I mean, God can do anything, right? He can use a donkey. He surely can use us. He surely can use you. And you might be sitting there going, well, I don't know enough of the Word of God, or I don't pray enough, or Pastor Rob, you said read my Bible every day, and I don't read my Bible every day. Hogwash. Do you have a heart for the Lord? Do you have a willingness to believe that God can do a miracle in your life or through you? That's enough. That's enough. I would imagine the Apostle Paul didn't even feel worthy, right? Chief of sinners, he called himself. Hey, I'm right with Paul. I do a pretty good job of sinning. Anybody else? if we're good at sinning, let's be good at getting forgiveness from the Lord. Let's be good at coming to God and saying, Lord, I am so sorry. Please wash me from this. None of us feel qualified. It was a perfect illustration, this fig tree, so that they could see it. It was also the perfect time because it was in that season and they were physically seeing it. Some of us in this room just need to see God begin to work for us to believe that he will. Notice it says here, the verse 31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. I am so thankful that Jesus said this, because do you know, as much as this word has been challenged over these centuries, it's still here with us in its original form, and it will be here forever. No matter what they say about it, no matter what they do to take it out, this word is going to last forever. And that's God's word, and he's saying it's going to last forever. Then we certainly should be studying it. We certainly should be doing what it says in the scriptures. I believe we should. So, seeing the signs in the Word, seeing the signs in the physical world, and then lastly, verse 32, we're seeing the signs in the days that we live in. It says, verse 32, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Talk about see the signs. Jesus here at the end tells us, you got to watch. You got to be ready. You got to be prepared. The reality is, nobody knows when Jesus is coming back. Isn't it amazing how many people want to tell you that when he is coming back? I'm shocked. When Jesus himself says, no one knows but the Father and some guys in Texas. I'm not against anybody in Texas. I just use that randomly. Okay, let's not get crazy. Isn't it something? I mean, I looked up on the internet. I don't know how many times, but over the years, haven't we known? Like 1988, that was a prediction that Jesus was coming back, right? Some other years. I mean, it's like someone just said in the spring of this year, 2018. Well, that didn't work out too. It just looks so stupid for Christians to say, I know when Jesus is coming back, when Jesus says, I don't know when I'm coming back. But just because we don't know when he's coming back, the truth remains, doesn't it? He is coming back. And when he does come back, we want to be ready. And time again, he says, watch. Watch, therefore. And what I say to you, I say to everybody, watch, be prepared, be ready. If today was the day that Jesus came back, are you ready? Are you ready? Right now, I'm ready. Let's go. Or do we think, oh, wait a minute. I should erase some of the things on my computer first. I should clean out my closet first. No, be ready. Be packed. Be ready to go, you know? Spontaneous. Anybody in here like to be spontaneous? Probably most of the guys. Some of the women, they want to know the details. When are we leaving? What time are we going to be? How long are we going to be gone? What do I got to bring? This afternoon we're flying to Florida. Let's go. I'm ready. Just need a bathing suit. Be ready. Are you ready are you truly ready? Because when we look out at the world, we see the signs. More and more and more we're seeing on television, in movies, everything that's contrary to what God has written down as we're, don't do these things, and the world is doing it. And we're supposed to embrace it. We're supposed to accept it. It's supposed to be okay. I'm sorry. When I see sin on the screen, it grieves my spirit. I'm grieved. But I'm also encouraged because I do believe that has to happen before Jesus will come back. So it just reminds me that Jesus is coming back. I don't get discouraged. I just go, oh, there's more work that we need to do. And that's what the parable of the worker is, the doorkeeper. I left you a house. I left you a church. Be busy. The gifts of the Spirit should be exercised. I want to lay hands on you, and I want to ask God to use your life in a powerful way, that you would be a brighter light this week than you were last week, that you'd be more faithful in your life today than you were yesterday, that the struggles and the temptations in this life, that the sin that so easily catches us every single day would be less burdensome. Because we're walking in the Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit. You're walking. When you're walking in the Spirit, guess what? You're ready. Jesus doesn't catch you off guard. If Jesus knocked on your front door, you'd open up and go, welcome, come on in. Not, hey, I'll get back to you. Be ready. His word is here for us. The signs are very clear that his return is imminent. And I think it's very important. Yes, there's time frames within the 7-year tribulation period. When we see these things happen, the clock starts. But right now, there's no clock. There's no prediction. If I said to you, Jesus is coming back next Sunday, what would you do this week? Would you do anything different? I would hope all of us in this room would say no. Because you're already doing it. If you're not doing it, then yes, you should do some things differently. But if you're already ready, if you're already prepared, if you're all ready to go and be with the Lord, then it doesn't matter when he comes. He can come today, he can come in 5 years. The Apostle Paul thought in his day that Jesus was coming back. When Paul wrote about being caught up, he thought it was going to happen in his generation. Every single generation, Pastor Chuck Smith, who founded Calvary Chapels, thought that the Lord was going to come back before he died. We don't know, but it could be any moment. It could be any moment. I believe the rapture of the church is really the only thing left to happen before he can come back. So we should be praying for that. Notice it says that in there. Verse 33, take heed, watch and pray. Watch and pray. We need to be watchful. We need to be paying attention. We need to see what's going on around here. There are people in your life that need to know the Lord before the Lord comes back. That's his grace. And until that last person accepts Christ, we continue to serve the Lord. We continue to work for God. So be watchful, but to be also praying. Jesus says to pray. Jesus was a man of prayer. God's house is a house of prayer. I would hope for every single person in this room, prayer comes so naturally. If I just randomly picked you and say, hey, could you come up here and pray and close out our service? I pray your face wouldn't turn red. I pray you'd be like, yes, I'll pray. Yes, I'll pray. Be people that are praying. Jesus says, watch and pray. Because for some people, oh, Jesus coming back, whatever, whenever. He hasn't come back in 2,000 years. I can just keep living my life. No, that's just living lazy. You want to live for the Lord. You want to be prepared. Prayer, I believe, prayer prepares you for the return of Christ. As you spend time with the Lord, he encourages you in what you're going through. Watch. When we're watching, when we're being attentive to the things that are going on, we can encourage each other in that. See, when I hear you're struggling, when I hear you're going through something, it gives me an opportunity to pray for you. When I'm going through something, it gives me an opportunity to pray, to see God work. God will carry you. He will carry us through to the very end. And that's the encouragement that we have. My hope for you this week is that you'd have a different perspective on the things that are happening in your life. Maybe last week was like the worst week you ever had. So you had a lot of things went wrong, a lot of struggles. Or maybe there's something going on in your physical body. We all get older, we have more and more of those. But I just pray that we would feel the strength of God on us as we watch, as we pray, as we see him come. That's the encouragement that we have to have. We see the signs. It's very clear he's got to be coming back very soon. Let's believe that, and let's be busy doing what he's called us to do until that time he comes back. Amen? Father, we thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for the Gospels, Lord, that reveal to us your truth. And Lord, what a great reminder it is. As Jesus tells, not just us, all. He tells believers and non-believers. He tells all to watch and to pray. God, I pray that you would give us those spiritual eyes. That we would not just see the physical, that we would see in the spiritual. That we would see when someone else is in need, when we would see when someone else is hurting, that we would see the needs that people have by the gift of the Spirit. Not so that we have head knowledge. In the days that we live, we just want control. We want to know everything. But clearly here it says in the scriptures that not even you know when you're going to return. So it should be an encouragement to us that we don't need to know everything. That we just need to know the things that you reveal to us. That the end is coming, and for those who believe, it's an encouragement that we get to be in heaven with you. It's not depressing, it's not discouraging. As we read the book of Revelation, it's not scary. It just reminds us of the things that you've saved us from. And so I pray that you've increased our faith here this morning. That we would truly see the signs around us that point to your return. At any moment, you can take us home. And we want that. We desire that. We pray for that. We pray for the rapture of the church. And that it would be a sign to a wicked world that the Bible is true. For your word's going to last. And your word is going to teach people that you already told us that these things are going to happen. But until that time, I pray that our lives would be living billboards, drawing people into the kingdom of God. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Let the gifts be exercised with excitement, not fear. And we know, we ask for forgiveness because we know there have been believers that have abused the gifts. But that is not an excuse for us not to use the gifts. So I pray for this church. I pray that the gifts would be exercised and the gifts would be poured out and that we would use them consistently, daily, moment by moment. As you will, Lord, not our will be done. So we thank you for this day. We ask your blessings upon us. We pray that this week would be a week that we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. That we would believe that God would use us in some way this week and then be encouraged when you do. To you be the glory, to you be the honor, and to you be the praise. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.